Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
This is Overdrive on TSN1050.
All ESPYs talk all the time this hour. That's the only thing happening in sports today. It's the quietest sports day of the year, Gord Miller. Right?
I think you're wrong. I'm sorry, but...
But that's how it's defined.
I beg to differ.
That's how it's defined. Oh, wait, Kawhi Leonard is a Toronto Raptor.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan is a San Antonio Spur.
Now, that's going to be an interesting thing when San Antonio comes here. We should point out that one of the things that's been discussed today is the Raptors have not yet acknowledged DeRozan's...
They didn't thank him in the press release.
Right, there's no acknowledgement of, hey, thanks for the 9 seasons, leading scorer in franchise history.
Well, and just I rant and I rave about don't get too attached to players. But you can pay them respects when they are sent out the door, either if they leave in free agency and they've been great to your franchise, or in this case, if they are traded or retire or whatever the situation may be. This guy, for whatever flaws he has as a player, this guy is the best Raptor in the franchise's history, and I don't underestimate this when it comes to baseball or basketball players. Hockey, it's a different story because the Leafs are such a brand, such a big-time franchise in the NHL. But baseball and basketball, predominantly American-based teams. This guy validated our city by choosing to stay here and, unlike Vince, wanting to stay here for the duration of his contract and for wanting to be in one uniform, Toronto's uniform, for the entirety of his career and making that clear on multiple occasions. Then you have these allegations from DeMar's camp, and DeMar himself on his Instagram story posted early this morning.
Right. Basically said
he was promised one thing and
they say
feels
one thing,
he was lied to.
They say one thing and do another. So, I think that there's a way to handle these things. I'm not sure that on the day that Masai Ujiri is flying back from Africa after having been there with Barack Obama, that today's the day to finalize the trade. I think he's got to be in front of the cameras today.
Well, in front of the cameras on Friday.
Right. Then make the deal on Friday. What's the rush? Well, it's the middle of July.
Kawhi could go for a jog and his tendon in his quad could snap or something between. This is the other thing, Gord.
Really?
Oh, no.
I'm just saying that there's a way to get in front of these things and a way not to.
But, Bruce Arthur was with us for a half an hour, Sam Mitchell, in the first hour of the program. And the one thing that has not been totally made clear is why you do this deal without the physical. Because you don't entirely know what you're getting. I guess, and Bruce made this about as clear as possible, is that the determination was made that they had to crack this core. And so this is a pretty big way about going about doing that.
So are you overreacting to the loss to Cleveland?
How about we ask Leo Routens that question, because he's on the phone line.
That's a great idea.
Leo Routens, NBA on TSN and Raptors analyst, is with us. I see you've asked on Twitter, what the hell is Gord doing in my seat, Scotty? Leo, you are only contractually obligated to be my co-host 1-4. When I fill in on Overdrive, we're a little more flexible here.
Okay. I didn't read the details on that. I was a little offended, but now I guess I should pay more closer attention to those kind of things.
Leo's one of my favorite people at TSN. We only ever talk at the airport.
I never see you unless we run into each other at the airport.
Like 4 or 5 times a year, Leo and I'll be, hey, Leo, what's up? Yeah, where are you off to? Philly? Where are you going? Yeah, Detroit. Yeah, I'll see you there. Yeah.
Yeah. So throw that question out.
So do you think, Leo, that this trade could be an overreaction to the sweep at the hands of Cleveland?
It's easy to read it that way, but, okay, again, the Raptors, if they, I didn't think they were going to get beat Cleveland. Okay. So they, I thought they were going to, this was their best opportunity ever to push Cleveland. I still think LeBron James is that good that the Raptors, you know, that's still their obstacle. So I don't say, I wouldn't say now it's overreacting. I think that they realize that they got to get better. And, you know, I would have to say that Masai probably lost his faith in DeMar being able to step up in those postseasons. You know, DeMar has played amazing basketball for the Raptors, but has struggled in the postseason. You know, even now with Nick Nurse, they want to jump to, you know, be more aggressive defensively. Nick's already talked about DeMar from a defensive standpoint prior to the trade. So now you have an opportunity, and what I think is kind of a low-risk situation, to you move DeMar, bring in a top-five player, and if it all goes like, if you can't re-sign Kawhi and everything goes a different direction, what happens is you end up in a situation where you got a lot of money and you can make a lot of moves and keep moving forward next summer.
So, Leo, you have played at a high level. You have coached at a high level. You've seen it from both ends. All reports suggest that Kawhi Leonard is, to put it diplomatically, not happy today. I think we all believe he's going to report to camp as long as he's a Raptor and not spun off somewhere else because, I mean, what else is he going to do at this point? From a teammate's perspective, from a coach's perspective, because you can speak to both, how do you approach this situation knowing that the best player on the team doesn't seem to want to be here?
Well, from a teammate standpoint, you're just going to welcome him in and you know, teammates, players don't get caught up into a lot of that. So once he comes in, you just want to welcome him. You know, get on the horn, call him, get ahead, and find out where he's working on. If he wants to hook up. You're just trying to start trying to have some sort of a relationship with him, and make him feel comfortable in this environment. Tell him how good it is and all the positives. From a coaching standpoint, I think just trying to establish a relationship, no different than any other player, letting him know that. Hey, this is what we do. Here's how we're going to do it. We see you being involved in a situation. Talk about the different guys in the squad, their roles. You know, I think from the players and coaches standpoint, you can't get caught up in all that stuff because it really has no bearing on what happens once he's here and once you get in the gym. So they just have to continue to do their jobs and hopefully, you know, he may not be happy right now. It doesn't mean he can't be happy, you know, a couple of months from now. And ultimately, even if he wants to leave after this season, it doesn't mean that he can't have a great year to enhance his stock. And who knows, maybe take the Raptors to the NBA Finals coming out of the East.
Well, sure. So, Leo, really, if you look at it from a one-year proposition, if he's healthy, the Raptors are a better team than they were at the end of last year with this trade, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, a much better team.
Yeah, your core's been together now. And your bench is continuing to develop. And here's the great part: you didn't have to give up a lot of your bench, and you gave up Jakob Poeltl. That's a good young player, but he didn't have All-Star written all over him. And you also eliminated the logjam. The Raptors are better defensively when you have Serge Ibaka in the middle, so now he can play more five. JV's going to get his minutes at the five. And then you also have, you know, Danny Green is a player I really like. You know, everybody's talking about him like he's a throw-in there, but he's a good player. You know, he gives you defense. He knocks down three-point shots, which, again, is an issue, and you want to have that shooting. And then Kawhi Leonard, remember, he's a two-way player. Nick Nurse said he wants to do a lot more things defensively. He wants to be more aggressive, you know, trap more, just get after people. And also offensively, he really wants to expand his offense. So, you know, to get into it a lot deeper than he did under Casey. So now you have two guys from San Antonio where ball movement, making the extra pass, moving out the ball has always been a priority. So I think this team is a better team. This team gets enhanced a lot by the presence of both of these guys.
With Leo Routens, it's Scott MacArthur, Gord Miller, Overdrive. You're listening to TSN 1050. So, Leo, there are a lot of no promises at the end of a lot of sentences to do with this trade, just because Kawhi can become a free agent next summer. the reports are that he's not happy about this, on and on and on and on and on. Masai Ujiri has put himself out there, hasn't he, this summer, firing the eventual coach of the year, trading a beloved figure in DeMar DeRozan out of this city, placing his imprint on this team in a way that perhaps some of us couldn't have foreseen. This is ballsy stuff from Masai, isn't it?
Oh, major league. And, you know, hey, if you're afraid to make these kind of moves, you can't be a leader. And right or wrong, you know, we don't know, you know, all the people that want to judge us right now, calm down. You can't judge us till it all plays out. So, you know, right or wrong, you can't be afraid. And one of the things Masai Ujiri has always impressed me, his patience, his ability to, you know, be calm and evaluate, not be knee-jerk. And that's why, going back to your very first question, you know, is this an overreaction? In the time that he's been with the Raptors, I've never seen Masai overreact. Everything has been thought out. Everything has been, you know, really bantered about and evaluated before he made a decision. But then ultimately, when he's got to make a decision, whether it's, you know, when you fire the coach of the year, you're going to get a ton of flack. But if you believe this is something you have to do, then you got to do it. You can't be afraid of that flack. And we've seen so many people in power positions afraid to make decisions because of what they're going to hear afterwards. And obviously, DeMar DeRozan, a guy that, you know, has kind of identified himself with Toronto, when a lot of people are saying, hey, you can't get guys to do that, that's a big thing to do. But ultimately, Masai's got to say, what's best for this team? And if DeMar DeRozan is going to give me something in return, meaning a Kawhi Leonard, and he can't give me the things that maybe a Kawhi can, and the combination of Kawhi and Green and the other guys in his team, if he can't give that to me to take us to the next level, I have to make a move somewhere else. And so obviously, you know, he's not afraid to do it. And, you know, the time will tell how all this plays out, but you have to respect the man for not being afraid.
9 seasons with the Raptors, drafted by the team, the all-time leading scorer for Toronto. What is DeMar DeRozan's legacy with the Raptors?
I think it's a very good one. I mean, you know, he's one of the all-time greats of this franchise.
Is he the all-time great, Leo? Do you think he's the best player in franchise history?
I'd say at this point in time, yes. You know, statistically, he proves it. You know, winning. I mean, he's impacted winning on his team. The last, you know, 5 years have been the best in the franchise, you know, with him. And, you know, he's a character guy. You know, he's a dedicated guy in his game. He works his tail off. He's gotten better every year. And, yeah, I mean, he's got some deficiencies to his game. You know, most guys do. But, you know, he left it all on the floor. And I think that's one of the things that I'll always appreciate about DeRozan. When you talk about the grind of an NBA season, I mean, for 82 games, this guy's there. And you know, you look at how many players miss how many games during a regular season that you just can't count on them. But DeRozan, you can count on him being there every single night. So, you know, I think the legacy is a good one. And, you know, he certainly has made an enormous impact for the city and his franchise. But unfortunately, again, as a management, if you believe you have to do something different, you have to do it. You can't hang on.
Well, and you know, Leo, that people get attached, fans quite naturally, yep, get attached to players, especially players of DeMar's caliber and of DeMar's personality. I mean,
but Scotty, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Now, I just want to know one thing. I look at Twitter in the playoffs. I mean, I'm just hearing, you know, this guy can't do this in the playoffs. This guy can't do that in the playoffs. This is, get rid of him. You got to make a move. Get rid of both the guards. Get rid of Kyle and DeMar. I don't know how many basketball fans we have in the city, but it just seems like it's all the same people now saying, what are you doing?
Well, no, exactly.
You know, so, yeah, it's hard to know. Which one is it? I mean, you can't, you know, you can't sit there and say, get rid of both of these guys, both the Toronto All-Stars, you know, because you lose in the playoffs, and now say, what are you doing? Because he's one of your all-stars and he loves Toronto.
Right.
You can't do that. It's you can't have both. And that's what I feel from these fans. A lot of people that are criticizing this are the same people that, you know, were calling for his head in the postseason.
Well, and but Leo, just to take it a step further, I mean, content is like a baseball bat that's being swung at our heads. It hits us smack dab repeatedly, and sometimes very hard. And in a social media generation, players can express themselves, people can express themselves constantly. So whereas 20, 25 years ago, we may have had to wait for the press conference, DeMar's introductory press conference in San Antonio, or for his return to Toronto to do a one-on-one sit-down with a selected journalist, whatever the case may be, to wait to hear how he feels about this. He was posting what at the time were cryptic Instagram stories very early this morning. And he suggested in one of them that he felt like he was lied to, that he had been promised in a conversation with Masai Ujiri at Summer League, where they had bumped into each other, that he would not be traded, and now he has been. I'm not asking you for an opinion on whether or not that in fact happened, because I do think a lot of conversations happen in life between anybody about anything where what is being said and what is being interpreted can be two totally different things. But do you have a hard time believing that Masai Ujiri would have guaranteed anybody, including DeMar, that there was no chance he would be moved?
Yeah, I absolutely do. Think of it, man. Until, first of all, there's nobody on this team that can't be traded. Nobody. And until you're in a position where you're accomplishing everything you want to do, how could you tell anybody that, you know, you're not going to, I'm not, there's no chance of that happening. So I'm not buying it. Like you said, you know, there's a lot of different interpretations and things can be said that can be taken one way or another. And, you know, I'm not calling either one of them a liar. I'm just saying that I can't see that. I can't see Masai saying, especially DeMar's name's been out there. You know, it's been out there for a while on this. And when I heard the news, I wasn't shocked. We were talking last week, and I'm saying, you know, if one of the All-Stars has to go in a deal like this, it's got to be DeMar, because I don't think it's going to be Kyle. So there's nothing shocking about this. And you know what? But the thing is, it happens all the time, right? Whether it's, you know, owners, you know, begrudge the players, players begrudge the owners. The reality is this. I think this may be good for DeMar, too. You know, Scotty, you know, Gord, you know what happens. Playoffs start.
Yep.
Okay, flash forward to the playoffs. What are we going to be hearing if DeMar's still here? Oh, yeah. Okay, great regular season, but here it goes. Get ready for this. Someone's going to go down the crapper right now. He's going to hear that every single year in Toronto. Right? He can't get away from it. I mean, Kyle hears it. And with social media, as I said, it's never ending. So now he's got an opportunity for a fresh start in San Antonio, one of the most storied franchises in the history of any sport, playing for an unbelievable coach in Greg Popovich, who he'll get familiar with Basketball USA. And you're still finishing out your $139 million deal. So, hey, this isn't a worst thing in the world for him. Not at all.
So, what's the one thing that Leonard, healthy and presumably engaged, does for the Raptors?
Honestly, he's Mr. Everything. He's like a LeBron James. He's the best defender on the wing in this league. I mean, he's a two-time defensive player of the year. This guy scores. He knocks down threes, takes the ball to the rim, scores off his defense, moves the basketball, moves without the basketball. He's a complete package. You know, and he plays the game the right way. One of the things I've always been impressed about him, you rarely see him force the game. He just plays the game at a high level and lets the game come to him, takes it when he has to. There's not one thing about this guy. It's the whole thing when I watch him play that impresses me. And, you know, when healthy, I think you can make a great argument for him being right. You got LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard. If you're talking about a two-way player, you know, plays both ends and can make an impact at both ends of the floor, Kawhi Leonard is in your top three, in my opinion.
Leo, awesome analysis as always. We'll get you back into the co-host chair at some point. And
I'll see you at the airport, Leo.
Yeah, definitely garbage. Just nobody in the afternoon thing, okay? Scotty, just keep the afternoons for me. That's
there,
all.
There you go. Leo Routens, NBA on TSN, Raptors on TSN, analyst. And, Gord, if you filter through the last 2.5 hours, Sam Mitchell had a take. Bruce Arthur had a take, Leo had a take, and there's some commonality, yeah. But you can view this trade. This is the thing. It's the unknown.
What's the one thing they've all said to start a sentence? If.
If. Now, the Raptors are a better team today. If. If he's here, Kawhi.
Right.
If he's healthy.
Right. If.
If he's engaged.
If is a lot to gamble the best player in franchise history on. You have traded a known for an unknown.
The debate was, I take calls on this on my show, and I heard the guys on Overdrive, the morning shows all touched on this. What is the, because as you've brought up, Gord, 59 wins, a playoff round victory. They went to the Eastern Final a couple of years ago, lost to Cleveland, of course. 59 wins and a couple of rounds. Or at least one round. I think when you're not the top winter sport team in this city, there's a lot of value in that.
I don't know, though, that Masai Ujiri cares what the Leafs do.
No, but what I'm saying is that Masai and his group had it at the very least charted a course where they were a good team. Maybe not a great. They would repeatedly prove at the
really
wrong time
team.
Of year that they were not a great team, but a good to very good team. And the debate always was: well, if you're going to win in the neighborhood of 50 games, you're going to have home court in the first round of the playoffs, and then you're going to take your chances. There's value in that versus stepping up to the plate and taking a swing.
So trying to be good, trying to go from good to great,
and knowing he. No matter how much I barked about it or whatever, that there was really no shot at getting LeBron to Toronto as a free agent. This is the way that you go about acquiring a star player. You have to trade for him. The
sure.
Toronto yep. Blue Jays can tell you in baseball the very same thing. You're oftentimes able to retain your own stars because they know the city. They like it here. They're comfortable with the team. They see that the team is going to be good. Jose Bautista and Edwin yep. Encarnacion wanted to stay. On and on it goes. But recruiting and getting guys here. You were never going to sign Jose Reyes. You were never going to sign right. a Mark Burley. You were never going to sign a Josh Johnson. I grant some of those guys didn't work out, but they were stars at the time. Right. You got them here in trade. You hope they fall in love with the city and you see what happens.
Well, you just accept the fact that you are not going to be a free agent destination, which is fine. There's lots of teams that have built good NBA. There's lots of good NBA teams that have been built without the help of free agency. Now, we look at Golden State, and obviously adding Durant changed everything. But they won NBA titles before they had KD. So, I mean, he obviously makes them one of the greatest teams of all time.
Now they just go and get Boogie Cousins for like $5 million.
Just for giggles. But I just think that it's if you're going to go all in, which I think Ujiri has done here. He's gone all in. You're going all in hoping to catch the fifth card. Like you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of risk. Like, we don't really know why Leonard didn't work out in San Antonio. There's a lot of stuff there.
And
about the contract,
been
about injury. His agents, you know, changing agents and his new agents. You know, Greg Popovich has kept referring to his group, his team, the people around him. You know, two separate injuries where he consulted outside medical opinions.
The first one kind of ended up going away.
Yeah.
That was a few years ago.
You know,
and it was the arm, I think.
Yeah. And now the thigh injury, which right. is maybe the same thing that Cam Neely had. You know, where it's a thigh bruise where the thigh muscle actually becomes calcified.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fascinating gamble. I like Sam Mitchell's theory. Take a swing this year.
And then
if it doesn't work out, press the reset button. You've got good young players.
So it's not dissimilar, although they don't have, well, they do have a star, but he'd been previously acquired, Josh Donaldson, and it turns out Donaldson's been hurt. But it's not totally dissimilar to what the Blue Jays did this year. All right, we'll patch it together, see what we got. Hope Donaldson's healthy.
No, but I think it's different.
But the rebuild is coming.
I think it's different than that, Scott, because I think people looked at the Blue Jays. I don't think many people looked at the Blue Jays this year and thought they'd contend. Right?
If everything hit, they'd be a wild card contender. If people had stayed healthy and all that.
All right, but the Raptors are a 59-win team that just got the best player in the trade.
No, you're right.
Yep. So I think to Sam's point, take your run at it this year. Now, his point is you're going to get crushed by Golden State in the finals anyway. You know what? If the Toronto Raptors are in the NBA finals this year...
It's a win.
That's a win.
Because you go to the finals figuring you're not going to win them anyway. Well, so anything on top of that would be a bonus.
And by the way, you've probably played 12 home games on the way.
Yeah, cha-ching. Cha-ching. Rock Kabatko of the Mid-Atlantic Sports Network, Masson, is reporting on his Twitter account that it looks as though the Manny Machado trade to the Dodgers will go through. The Orioles will get back five players. He's been told, quote, there are some final points to review, end quote, and that medical concerns have been, quote, all but addressed.
All but addressed.
End quote. Okay. Not a deal breaker, so stay tuned, says Rock. This is, we'll get into it with Steve Phillips because he knows all about the Baltimore Orioles and their physicals. Forensic audits up in Ottawa don't mean so much when it goes to Matt Cook. These people do forensic audits on players when they're going to acquire them. We'll get into it. Steve Phillips joins us. It's Scott MacArthur, Gordon Miller. It's Overdrive, TSN 1050. Right, back to the Kawhi Leonard of the Raptors talk in just a little bit. You're listening to Overdrive with Scott MacArthur for Brian Hayes and Gord Miller. This is TSN 1050. Some stuff went down at the All-Star game last night, which we will get into, but yes. Los Angeles, the Dodgers, are very close to acquiring Manny Machado from the Baltimore Orioles, we think. We're not quite sure how many doctors the Angelos family has at their disposal to put these prospects the Orioles would be acquiring through the three dozen or so physicals that each will need to sign off on this thing. So let's see where it's at with Steve Phillips, our Blue Jays and MLB insider. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys, how are you? Kawhi Leonard got traded to the Raptors?
I hadn't
heard that.
Well, okay. All right, that's it. Hand in your passport.
Steve, what's the biggest risk you ever took on a trade? What was the biggest gamble you ever took on a trade?
Boy, I took a lot of them. I mean, I took a lot of risk on trade. Bobby Bonilla was a bit of a risk on a trade. That didn't turn out all that well, as you probably saw watching SportsCenter yesterday, the lifetime annuity that he got out of it.
He's not complaining, Steve.
Yeah, no. He's actually from the player's perspective. But, you know, here's the thing. I know we'll talk about Machado, but I think that if you look at your team and you say, as currently constituted, we aren't a championship team, but we like these players, but we're not going to win a championship with them, then I applaud going for it. I applaud saying, you know what, this guy is a championship caliber player. I don't know if it exactly fits exactly the way we need it, but you don't often get a shot at getting him. And if we have to give up a guy that people love, but he's not a championship player for us, then you got to do it. And you have to make those tough decisions. Like, I look at Theo Epstein in Boston. He traded away Nomar Garciaparra in 2004, the year they won the World Series. Traded away Nomar Garciaparra, but it was the right move. Then he let Johnny Damon walk and go to the Yankees because it was the right move. And he didn't re-sign Derek Lowe because it was the right move. And Pedro Martinez left because there were hard things to do. And there were things that, you know, that a lot of fans were hurt because they loved the player. But if it's the right move, in the end, people will appreciate it.
And Steve, how hard is it, and we'll get to the baseball in a moment, but how hard is it to take the emotion out of it? Because, you know, DeRozan's you're an executive. You're not thinking about, hey, this guy's great in the community. Hey, this guy's loved by the fans, are you? You got to do what's best for your team, and sometimes that means trading a guy that fans love.
Yeah, as a human being, you know, you have your own relationship with all of your players, and you know the guys who have given you the most and starred the most, and you know the blood, sweat, and tears the most, and you know, you've won a lot, but you've also lost with them. You've shared, you know, those moments of emotion. You've got a connection to them, and you also understand the fan base does. But, you know, your job is not to win talk radio. Your job is not to win the back pages. Your job is to go out and try to win a championship. And a lot of times when, you know, you have to take the emotions out of it, and what do the analytics say? What do the numbers say? What does the breakdown say? What is your evaluation of the player? Not the person, but the player. Because here's the thing. Like, I love great guys on my team, but you don't win with a team full of milk drinkers. And that's the reality of it. And I know it's hard for people to understand that. It takes all kinds to win a championship, but in the end, talent is what wins championships. And you have to manage personalities. And if the personality is the thing you miss the most about the player more than the talent compared to the guy you're bringing in, then you made the right trade. You made the right trade. You made the right deal. And those are gutsy moves. They're moves that your job probably hinges on when you make it. But I applaud the courage to make a deal like that because it shows that he's doing what's right for the franchise, which is to try to go out and win. If that's your mission statement, if it's to just make everybody love the players and like the guys you have, you can do that, but you're not going to win a championship that way. So those are gutsy moves, man. I applaud that when people make those kinds of personnel decisions.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, as far as my knowledge takes me back, Steve, the 86 Mets absolutely were a bunch of milk drinkers and nothing more. There was nothing else going on with that team.
Nothing else. That's where I learned that it doesn't take milk drinkers.
Yeah.
You know, I came up in the minor leagues with a lot of those guys, and they weren't drinking milk. and yet they were extraordinarily talented. And I got to tell you, when I took over the team, and I had been watching our drafts, we put so much stock in a psychological test that we were letting some guy tell us whether or not a player was good or bad based upon a number two pencil in his hand filling out an answer to a question. And when I sat in a meeting, and it was said to me that, well, this guy, the guy who gives the test says that Manny Machado has low self-esteem, and he probably won't be able to get out of a slump if he falls into one. My response to that, having watched him in high school, was, I don't think he's going to go into a slump. I think he's that good. We should take him anyways. And they're like, no, we can't. The Mets would not have taken Manny Machado because he didn't fit the mold of what they were looking for with regard to intangibles, with character. And so when I came in, I got rid of the test because I said, listen, what I know is this, that talent wins. And what we have to do is manage the personality, manage the character to get the most out of the player, and then blend that with all of the other guys we have there. And just taking out players because you think they're leading the way with their character and their makeup, you're going to have a lot of really nice guys, but you're going to finish second, and that's not really what you want.
With Steve Phillips, TSN's and TSN 1050's Blue Jays and MLB Insider, it's Scott MacArthur, Gord Miller on Overdrive. You're listening to TSN 1050. So it sounds, Steve, as though this Dodgers-Orioles trade is going to happen. Manny Machado to Los Angeles for five prospects. But the background here is that the Orioles have held this deal up for the last 24-plus hours or so because they have this exhaustive medical review that they undertake with players that they would be acquiring. This is well-known around the game. Can you explain, as far as your knowledge goes on it, what exactly is different about how the Orioles approach it than other teams? And, you know, it's obviously affected other deals in the past.
Yeah, I got to tell you that you know, and I tweeted this out this afternoon at Steve Phillips GM, that in fact, it's the delay right now is not going through the physicals. The delay right now is there's a problem with the physicals. That more of the Dodger prospects that were headed to Baltimore have not passed the physical for the Orioles, that there's some issues that have come up within the physical. Now, the question is whether they're going to get further diagnostics to try to flush out the issue to make a decision about whether they're willing to accept it or whether they're back in negotiations right now to replace or swap those players. And if that's the case, that they've said, you know what, we're rejecting this player as part of the deal, then it becomes much more complicated because I can think that this player is the same as that player, but rarely will you agree with me. It's really tough to do that. And so this was, I think, somewhat predictable, and I've said it on SportsCenter, that this deal is not a done deal until they officially announce it because the Orioles hold their players that they evaluate, their doctors, use a different standard of quote-unquote health for players and physicals, and they are completely risk-averse. If there's anything going on, the doctor, in order to cover himself with ownership, because he doesn't want to get in trouble, tends to reject the player. And they have a standard that they'll say a player is not okay. The guy could have been playing every day, could have made every start, has no pain whatsoever. But if an MRI shows a little bit of fraying, which every pitcher's MRI is going to show a little bit of fraying, no matter what age, the doctor will often say, I'm not willing to assume the risk with this young man's arm. And that's kind of where we are right now, is trying to sort through the reading from their doctor on this. Now, I had firsthand experience with it. I had a deal, and I knew that they had these standards where they tend to fail players in physicals. I had agreed to a trade when I was general manager for the Mets with Frank Wren, then general manager with the Orioles. Todd Hundley had come back from Tommy John surgery in June of a season, had finished the season with us, doing some catching, some left field. We had picked up Mike Piazza. We signed Piazza to an extension, so we were going to trade Todd Hundley. The Orioles needed a catcher. They came to me. We made a deal. We agreed on a deal. We went to tell our ownership, and Frank Wren called me back and said, listen, I can't make the deal now without bringing Todd Hundley here for a physical. I said, absolutely not. You saw him play. You scouted him in games in the major leagues. You looked at the medical reports. You can talk to our trainers, our coaches, our doctors. You can talk to Todd Hundley. But I'm not flying him down there, because if your doctor fails him, I can't unring that bell if I want to trade him somewhere else. So I pulled out. He pulled out of the deal. I ended up trading Hundley to the Dodgers for Charles Johnson, a catcher, as well as for Roger Cedeno. Then I took Charles Johnson, flipped him to the Orioles. He passed their physical, and then I was able to get Armando Benitez back in that deal. So we ended up getting two real functional players, but I lived it firsthand and was not willing to take that chance. A free agent pitcher this offseason refused an offer from the Orioles because he knew that if he went in there, they were going to give him a physical, and he didn't trust it. And he thought, if I agree, they fail me in the physical, then I can't sign anywhere. So he ended up signing somewhere else.
Unbelievable. And that's an Angelos family thing, because it goes back beyond Duquette and Showalter. Steve Phillips.
Oh, yeah. It goes back to Xavier Hernandez, who signed as a free agent with Frank Wren. And then once he had signed, he showed up to spring training, complained of a bad shoulder, and said, yeah, it's been bothering me since last year. He had a pre-existing condition. So they are completely risk-averse. They've only given one pitcher ever a four-year contract. They gave Chris Davis a seven-year deal or a six-year deal, which they had never done, but it was their guy. They ended up doing it, but they don't take any chances at all. And the times that they have, they've taken bad chances, and it's burned them, and it's given them even less of an appetite to go down that road.
Yeah, that four-year contract was Ubaldo Jimenez. Steve Phillips is with us on the Maple Toyota Hotline.
Steve, let's assume for a moment, let's just make this leap that Machado does go to the Dodgers. Where does that leave the other teams that were in pursuit of him? So the Yankees were in on it, the Phillies. Where do they turn now?
Yeah, I think the Yankees were in maybe to run the price up a little bit. And also because I think they looked at it and said that there's not great starting pitching. So they didn't really need offense in Machado, but they looked at if they're going to make a deal, they wanted impact. So I think the Yankees don't pursue. You know, there was talk they maybe being on Mike Moustakas to play him at first base, but since that kind of got rumored, Greg Bird's hit a few home runs. Neil Walker started to swing the bat a little bit better, so I'm not sure they'll go there. I could see them getting in the Yankees on Zach Britton and adding a left-hander into that bullpen mix and trying to even further to shorten the game for their manager, Aaron Boone, with the starting staff, because there's not great starting pitching there. I think the Phillies would jump in on a Moustakas as well. I think the Brewers are looking more at shortstop, or in Jose Iglesias maybe a factor, maybe even an Elvis Andrews could be a factor for them. They could also focus on upgrading at second base and adding a Brian Dozier or somebody like that into their mix as well. So I think that's really where they go. But those teams that now go to Plan B after losing out on Machado have kind of held off on Plan B, thinking, look, if the Machado thing blows up, and I would suspect if it were me, I'd make a phone call to Dan Duquette in Baltimore to say, hey, we're still in if you want. And you wonder, for any of those teams that lost out on Machado, they had like 36 hours to try on what it felt like to be the loser. And I wonder if any of them second-guessed and said, boy, you know what, we should have put that guy in. And I wonder if this opens the door for any of them to try that and go back and say, look, we'll up our ante and see if we can't unsettle this deal.
Steve, we're right out of time, which is unfortunate because I wanted to touch on Josh Hader, but we can certainly do that on another occasion. Thank you so much for this. We'll catch up soon.
Okay, my pleasure, guys. Thanks.
Steve Phillips is TSN's Blue Jays and MLB insider, and he joined us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Hurry into Maple Toyota during the Toyota 2018 factory event where you can get rates from 0%. Find out more at mapletoyota.com.
You know, it's interesting to talk to a guy like Steve, who was a baseball general manager, about other sports and the mindset of executives that transcends their sport. What baseball executives, what hockey executives, what football and basketball executives are thinking and trying to do is a lot along the same lines.
You know, well, and they share a lot of information,
sure.
Gord.
And like, a lot of these teams visit, you know, for example, yeah. The San Jose Sharks and the 49ers have a great relationship. The Sharks executives go to the 49ers training camp. The 49ers guys go to their rookie camps and the draft. But it's the commonalities between them is more than you'd think. For one thing, your coach is thinking about today. Your coach is thinking about how can I win tonight? And the manager is thinking in terms of years, you know, months and years down the road. He's got to think about the salary cap. He's got to think about developing young players. He's got to think about managing assets. He can't think about just going all in to win tonight. And that tension is very common throughout sports.
All right, we'll put a wrap on our thoughts on Kawhi Leonard. Big day. Mm-hmm. He's a Toronto Raptor. DeMar DeRozan is a San Antonio Spur. It's Scott MacArthur. It's Gord Miller. It's Overdrive, TSN 1050. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. It's Scott MacArthur, Gord Miller. It's Overdrive, and I wish you would get comfortable during commercial breaks.
I just lay right back.
You should do a segment. Feet up on the table. Just throw in a wad of gum.
I'm terrible.
Just go to town.
I'm terrible for putting my feet up. By the way, you know, I just got it in the email. I got an email. Plane ticket. To go to Kamloops and Edmonton for my first hockey games of the 2018-2019
Hlinka tournament.
So the World Junior Summer Camp and the Hlinka Gretzky tournament in Edmonton. So hockey is...
Oh boy, Kamloops is a really disappointing place to be in the summer, huh? Like 35, 40 degrees, desert heat, and beautiful.
Yeah, so it'll be... But imagine that, like, in 10 days or... 14 days.
Give me the hours and minutes, too. You're staring at your watch.
Okay.
It's July 18th. Not that you're counting.
July 18th. There's 31 days in July. So, yeah, in 14 days, I'll be doing hockey games.
So, are you around at all in August? Or
the last 2 weeks. Yeah, I come back in the last 2 weeks, and then training camp starts, right? It's amazing how quickly it goes. And the one thing, you know, and here we are talking hockey in mid-July. There are at least 120 players who played in the NHL last year, who don't have a contract right now.
The forgotten middle class.
Or bottom end.
Bottom end, or guys who are retiring, or whatever the case may be.
Maybe not retiring, but just looking for, you know, just their contracts expire, and they're looking for a place to play, and they'll go on what's called PTOs, professional tryouts. They'll go on two-way deals. They're scrambling for a job.
You know who has a contract, but we're not entirely sure is going to show up, apparently?
Kawhi Leonard.
Well... So, he's going to be here. So Chris, he's got to be here. I mean, to me, that
almost feels... What if he demands a trade?
Well, then that's totally separate, and you have to deal with that when it comes. But Masai's on the way back from Africa in an airplane right now, we believe. So,
and DeMar DeRozan, you were a great Toronto Raptor. You were a great ambassador for the city of Toronto. It may not have ended well, but it will be remembered well.
Yeah.
I think his time with the Raptors will be remembered.
And he will...
I loved watching
Feel
him play.
The love.
I loved watching him play.
When the Spurs come to town this year, he will feel the love, and deservedly so. We are back at it, Gord and I, at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
I'll be here at 3:59.
This is TSN 1050.